my name is Sydney, and when I was a small youth, I believed that I was a child of Poseidon.
Oh, okay. I see where this is going. Hello, my name is Maya. I really didn't know, and obviously most people are like, Apollo, music. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to be, like, the child of, like, a minor god and just, like, fly under the radar and never go to Camp Half-Blood ever.
They have in, oh, fuck, is it in the first series or the second series, the Heroes of Olympus, where, like, they start introducing, it might be the second series, the Heroes of Olympus. Yeah. Where they start introducing, like, the kids of the minor gods. Yeah. And they have cabins, but their cabins, like, in the woods, like, really far away.
And that would be me. I wouldn't want to be, sorry, I don't want to interact with you, big shots. I want to be left alone. That'd be cool.
No, when I was, so I started, as background, I started reading the Percy Jackson books in the fifth grade. So, like, say around 10 years old when I read the first Percy Jackson for the first time. And for some reason after that, I was like, that's me. I am that kid. And it was like that, like, 10-year-old fantasy world building of, like, riding my bike around the neighborhood being like, I'm being chased or whatever. Like, I just genuinely, like, had such brain rot.
I see.
Like, about that. So when I was a kid, I was like, child of Poseidon, 100%. Probably because I, A, wanted to be the main character, because duh. And then B, I was always a water kid. I did, like, competitive swim. We grew up in Arizona. It's very hot. So the summer was just spent all summer in the pool kind of situation. I was like, I love water. That's not the same. But anyways, so yeah, I just, like, genuinely. But I learned the other week, I was, like, talking to a friend of mine, and for some reason we were talking about the etymologies of our names.
Okay.
And so I looked up Sydney meaning, and the first one's like small meadow or something like that. Or it could mean from Dionysus. So my name either means wide meadow or from Dionysus. And I was like, damn, would I be a kid of Dionysus then? I've been lying to myself this whole time.
Yeah, but you don't really drink.
No.
You don't really like it.
I don't really party. I don't do anything Dionysus does.
I don't think so.
But if you haven't noticed, I'm talking about Percy Jackson. Because the show has been out for a while. There's 5 episodes out, I believe.
I only watched the first 2.
Okay. So the 2 we watched together.
Yeah. Okay, I did read the books as a kid. Mm-hmm. I did read the first 5, and then I got into the Kane Chronicles, and then I read the first 3 of the second series with the Roman kids. And I was completely caught up at that time. And then Mark of Athena was supposed to come out. Yeah. And I remember it was like a year and a half wait, and I was like, oh my god, I never went back. I never read it. I never went back. So I never finished that series. I remember, I think that's the book where Percy falls in, sorry, spoilers.
Oh, there's going to be a ton. I'm just going to say this for the fic that I'm reading today, for the conversation we'll be having, tons of spoilers for the first Percy Jackson, the Olympians, the Heroes of Olympus, anything having to do with Percy Jackson, because Maya and I pretty much know, like, all the lore.
Yeah.
So there's going to be heavy spoilers. Okay. So, yeah.
Good to know. So I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, at the end of the 3rd Heroes of Olympus, he falls into the pit.
He and Annabeth fall into Tartarus.
Yeah. And then that's where it left off for a year and a half. And I've never figured out since what happened to them. And it's been so long since I've read it that I don't really remember much of Heroes of Olympus. I'm on the 3rd Percy Jackson book right now. I'm rereading them. So I read, Lightning Thief.
The Sea of Monsters.
Sea of Monsters. my brain. But yeah, I'm on book number 3. And okay. The tree and
they're back. And yeah. Bianca and Nico.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's where you meet Nico and Bianca for the first time.
Not the first time.
Is it in Sea of Monsters? I thought they pick him up in the beginning of book 3.
They do, but technically there's like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah, no, you're right. So the thing is I think the last time I read the Percy Jackson books was in like high school, like early high school, freshman year, because the Heroes of Olympus started coming out and I was like, I'm going to read all the first series. And then I read all of the series that was at the time, which I think was just the first 2 books when I was like a freshman in high school. And then I just read them as they were coming out. But as I'm watching the show, I realized that I remember so little. Like, genuinely so little of it.
It's even rereading the books right now, it's like, oh, that happens too, huh? Like, Sea of Monsters was kind of the first one, like, movies have been made, that kind of stuff. It's just like, I feel like the first one is, like, imprinted in my brain that I remember enough of it. Whereas when I was reading Sea of Monsters, I was like, oh yeah, Grover does get, like, snatched.
That's crazy. Oh my god.
like, genuinely watching the show, I realized that I know so little. And even, like, from my basis memory, I think the ones that I can remember of the original series, I remember the first one the most, and then the second one, and then I think the fifth one, and then the third one, and then the fourth one. I remember so little of the fourth book that I'm just like, fuck. I don't even remember
the name of it. I'm rereading them right now.
The fourth book is The Battle of the Labyrinth, but I genuinely remember, like, kind of so little about the fourth one that I'm actually like, should I reread them?
I mean, it's going to be a couple years before the season comes out, so you have time.
Sad to say, but I remember more of the movie than I actually do, like, the first book at this point, because it's been at least a full decade of my life since I've read the Percy Jackson books. But the vibes, just, I remember all of them, do you know what I mean? So I've been really enjoying the series. I've caught up to all of them. It's not out, and it's not going to be finished. This is the episode of Percy Jackson where it's not in the middle. It's not like, oh, the show is ending. No, I just really wanted to talk about Percy Jackson because it's been the love of my life since the age of 10 years old. Mm. It's truly, like, a joy and a passion of mine. And it was just, like, it's meant so much to me. I'm pretty sure that it was, like, the first fan fiction that I've ever read, like, looking up Percy Jackson fan fiction on fanfiction.net. I could be wrong, but it's the first, like, active memory I have of reading fan fiction was, like, Percy Jackson fan fiction. It was, like, the first OC I created. It was the first fan fiction that I wrote out. I just, like, started everywhere. I remember when I did read the last book in the Heroes of Olympus series, because for some reason in my, like, dingy little mind, I thought I would just never read another Percy Jackson book again. I was like, this is it. I remember, like, sobbing, not because it's sad. Rick Riordan, like, writes sad things, like, sad things happen, like, people die and XYZ, but, like, not to the point where I ever suspected, like, Percy's death or, like, any of the main characters' kind of death. We get to that at another point with a character from the Heroes of Olympus. Anyways, I remember reading that last book and just crying, because I was just, like, it felt like my childhood was ending, of just, like, all, like, from my, like, the fifth grade to my senior year of high school, of, like, this is it, like, I'm never gonna get back. And of course, he's written more. I come to you because I just finished, the last book I finished in 2023 was The Chalice of the Gods, which is the newest Percy Jackson book, and it's such a good little, cozy little read. It's so good. Like, I should have never doubted him when it came to writing Percy Jackson.
I remember you being skeptical when we first talked. I have not read it. I'm way behind, so I'm not even gonna try. But I just remember it's about him getting college
recommendation letters.
So Percy's going to college, and I'll say it's technically listed as, like, Percy Jackson and the Olympians book 6. I don't know why. Like, you need to read all the Heroes of Olympus books, because it isn't until after all of those books where him and Annabeth decide to go to college in the new Roman city in, like, California. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make sense if you go from, like, the Titan's Curse to the Chalice of the Gods. But anyways, that's just, like, a technicality. He needs recommendations for college. So he does a bunch of, like, kind of side quests for, like, the gods in his life. And it's one of those books that feels kind of like the first The Lightning Thief again, because it's like the stakes are very low. It's not like the world is ending. It's just it's his college application that's on the line. Like, it's very funny. Like, Rick Riordan just, like, knows these characters so deeply. I mean, he should. He's written how many books with their voices? And it's just, like, it's just genuinely was such a good time to read a story with just the core three again, with Grover, Annabeth, and Percy. It's not like I didn't come to love everyone else, like Nico and Thalia and Jason and Piper and all the characters that come with the Heroes of Olympus series, but it was just so nice, and I'm like, I feel like a kid again. And then I learned he's writing a standalone story for Nico and Will, the boyfriends that come at the end of the Heroes of Olympus series. He's, like, writing a standalone book for them, and I'm like, I always know if no one's got my back, it's Rick Riordan. He has my back. Yeah, it was just such a good time, and after I finished that, and of course, like, watching the Percy Jackson television show, again, it's not like it's low stakes. Shit happens. Like, like, genuinely, like, shit happens, especially around, like, episode, like, 4, and it's like, fuck, we are going places. Oh, my God. But it's just, it still kind of feels more cozy, and maybe it is the aspect of I've read the book before, and therefore, I know what's gonna happen, and I'm, like, I'm not on the edge of my seat. It reminded me of some of the fanfiction that I had read, like, in my time, so I, like, went back to some of my bookmarks, and I found, like, a little fanfiction that I'm gonna read today of, like, not even my youth. It came out, like, around the time of the Heroes of Olympus series ending. Or no, even after that, because it ended in 2016 when I was in high school. So, like, a couple years after that. But yeah, I've been enjoying the show massively so far. I think they're doing
seems like it.
Such a good job. But I mean, what do I have to compare to? the movie?
I like the first movie. This is something that we've talked about. We heavily disagree upon. Mm-hmm. I find the first movie charming. Do they look like 23-year-olds?
Yes.
Absolutely. 100%. Do I find it endearing in a weird Hollywood type way?
Oh, fuck. I forgot to turn my heater
off.
Oh,
my God.
Anyways, what were you saying? The movie.
Oh, yeah. The movie isn't endearing in, like, an odd way mm-hmm. for me. And it's also, like, I remember actively reading the books and being like, it used to be a rule in my house that if I wanted to see a movie and there was a book attached to it, I would have to read the book first. And like, I don't know how my parents would have ever proved that I've read that book, but I was required to read the book first. Mm-hmm. And Percy Jackson was one of those where I was like, I read the book, take me to see this movie, goddammit.
Yeah.
I liked it. And of course, it was a kid who is objectively didn't know anything about mm-hmm. film or what makes a good or not movie. And also, my reading comprehension was not that great. So I was like, yeah, this is awesome. This is just like the book.
Yeah.
It's not.
I definitely had the opposite experience where I didn't hate the first movie. Like, I hate the second movie. Like, I genuinely, like, really hate the second movie. I can't
even remember anything from the second movie.
I remember, like, two very prominent aspects of the second movie. And that is, like, one, that they have a prophecy. Well, there's a prophecy for Percy Jackson in all of the books, right? But there's, like, a specific prophecy where it's, like, on the eve of your 16th birthday. And they fucked up casting so much that that prophecy that it comes in the second movie is, like, on the eve of your 20th birthday. Or, like, some shit like that. And it's, like, I cannot fucking believe it. And then, secondly, the duel with Kronos is, like, this very, like, built up, like, huge, like, very much Thanos and the Marvel, like, I would equate them equally to. And he comes in the end of the second movie, he's the big bad villain in the end of the second movie, and he's like, nothing. Just nothing. It's no build. The second book is like, it's like a mixture of all four of the last books put together, because I'm almost positive they did not think that they were gonna get a third or fourth or fifth movie.
Again, I don't remember much about the movie, but I definitely remember watching it as like a kid and being like, I don't think this is right.
Right.
I remember the wedding dress mm-hmm. and then it was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is not at all.
Yeah, in the first movie, I remember some things about it, and for the most part, looking back at it, I'm not as mad because I'm not, like, a child who is, like, in love with this thing and walking out being like, so what the fuck was that? Mm-hmm. Nothing of what I remember of that. Nothing. Like, characters were missing, plot points were missing, what the fuck happened? I don't even think they had, like, the Tunnel of Love scene, which was, like, that pissed me off very badly. But I remember the Lotus Hotel, the Lotus Casino scene. And I think that scene's only cool because the rest of the movie's dog shit.
Yeah.
In hindsight.
Yeah.
I remember Grover and Persephone having a weird sexual tension when they made it down to Hades. They fucked after Annabeth and Percy left, for sure. And then I remember the fucking, how they defeat Medusa with an iPhone.
It's great.
I can't, like, looking back at it, I'm like, it was campy. There's so many things wrong about that. Like, the fact that, like, demigods should not have technology to begin with. So why does Percy have, like, an iPod? I don't know, but looking back at it, I was like, it's kind of a campy scene. The one thing that I really hated from it, and now watching the series with the Grover that they have, is how fucked they did Grover's character in the movie, where I was like, I don't know who that was, but that's not Grover. And I can see that now with the new Grover being like, yes, you are the embodiment of my small satyr boy.
They cast a 24-year-old. No, they cast they did.
Not only did they cast a 24-year-old, Grover, and they're making it very known in the show that he is like the glue of the group. That he's like, you know, peace and harmony, like the satyrs, and he's, you know, trying to get them through and complete their quest alive, and he cares about them. But in the movie, he's like the comedic relief character, mm-hmm. which I never understood, because like Percy was good enough being the comedic relief / main character, but they also didn't make Percy Jackson in the movie funny.
I can't say I don't remember, to be totally honest.
There's like a couple things that I think were unintentionally funny, but for the most part it's like, so yeah, going from the movies where I like just really disliked them when I first watched them, and even now, there's some good scenes, but to be fair, like, as a whole, you're like, what is this shit? What did we do here? And then the series is just like, I've been waiting my whole life for this. I remember when Disney Plus launched and Rick Riordan was like, I'm pitching a Percy Jackson television show because it's owned by Disney. It's published by Disney. And it was like, I'm publishing this. And I waited patiently for years and years and years through greenlit and casting announcements and teaser trailers. And nothing makes me happier than like watching the television show. And does that color my thoughts about the television show? Maybe. Do I think that they can do no wrong? No. But I thoroughly enjoy it because of just the shit that I was put through. And I would love to see like the other books also be not even just the Percy Jackson and the Olympians books, but like the Heroes of Olympus. But something like that, just thinking about it, would have to be like a Game of Thrones kind of level, because the Heroes of Olympus goes from very centralized three characters kind of going on quest-based missions the whole time with extra side characters coming in there. And then the Heroes of Olympus is like, well, these people are doing things over here and this person's doing a thing over here and there's so many people and there's adding new people and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Where it's like that would have to then become like a kind of Game of Thrones thing. And I don't even know if people would like it or if it would do. I mean, I'm assuming it would do well. Percy Jackson is already doing very well on the platform. Would I love to see it? Yes. Would I be disappointed if it never comes? No. Because in my heart, I will always have it. And I'm hoping more people will then end up reading the Heroes of Olympus books. But it's been everywhere on like my Twitter feed and like TikTok edits and shit like that. I will say like specifically Twitter. Like whenever I go on Twitter on a Tuesday, which is when the new episode comes out, I can't escape it. It's one of those things where it's like, it's everywhere. People are talking about the new episode everywhere on my Twitter timeline. It's one of those things where like, I have to watch the episode or I'm kind of going to be spoiled, even though it's not a spoiler because I read the book and I know it's going to happen. But still, I'm like, holy fuck. Yeah, okay, we're all talking about it. All right, cool. But I love when things like that happen where it's like every week we're all talking about the same shit every single week. I love it. I think it's great. So, but yeah, we're talking about Percy Jackson. Specifically, I went in through... I wanted to talk about something like more cozy and not as like hard. It's the beginning of the year. We're slowly creeping back into it, right? We're not going too fast. We're not going too slow, you know? And I wanted that more cozy vibe, especially after coming out of reading The Chalice of the Gods, which I felt was more of like a cozy, not really high stakes, fun, adventurous, more character-based story. And I was going through like some of the older bookmarks that I have on AO3. And, like, looking at Percy Jackson ones. And there was one that I came up that's a shorter fic that is very, like, character-based, very funny. I remember this one being, like, I bookmarked it because the characterization of the characters was, like, so well. And I was like, you and I share a brain. I know that you have read and seen everything that you could have possibly seen. And this was probably also published on Tumblr because it was just that time. So the fic that I pulled out from my bookmarks is called The Request Revolution, and it's by Tired PJO Fan. It was published in August 6th, 2020, and it finished September 14th of 2020. It has only 3 chapters, and it's about 4,754 words. It's a general audience one. It's a very short little guy. Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Again, heavy spoilers if you haven't already. This fic also, the fic is set after the Heroes of Olympus, so just things that happened will just be like spoilers for Heroes of Olympus of things that have already happened, because it's set after the Heroes of Olympus. But it's quite popular. 103,000 hits, 14,000 kudos, 326 comments, and 2,353 bookmarks. And some of the things that I found funny is this is in like a lot of collections. And some of the collection names are fanfics I'd eat again at 3 a.m. and already have. In Love with Magic Since 0 Years Old. You Haven't Lived If You Haven't Read This. Fix That Heal My Heart. And Fix to Reread and Cherish All Over Again. And one of my favorite parts about this that I like relearned when I was rereading this again was that each of the titles for each of the chapters is very Percy Jackson-esque. The first chapter is Percy antagonizes a few gods and almost gets killed, but what's new? Percy didn't mean to start a revolution against the gods. It just sort of happened. He is a camp counselor now, and he's been so for a couple years after the Giant War, which is the war that happens at the end of Heroes of Olympus against the giants in Gaia. And currently he's with a new camper who is hesitating by the fire that you make offerings to. So the camper, James Silver, the son of Hermes, is unsure about the practice of throwing food into the fire and making an offer to their godly parent. He says, Hermes has a lot of children more powerful and more popular than me. What would I even ask for? It's not like he even cares. And maybe because James resembles Percy's little sister Estelle, or maybe it was because Percy was reminded of that promise he wrangled from the gods at age 16, but one moment he was looking at the young camper, and the next he was throwing some of his food into the fire and asking Poseidon for 2 Disneyland tickets so he can take Annabeth on a date there. Very, very loudly. Mm. The small, shocked laugh that James lets out makes it all worth it. Percy isn't even thinking about the consequences when he makes his way back to Cabin 3, where he's greeted by the sight of a small envelope lying innocently on the bed with his name written on it. He surveys the room. He's not really expecting to see his dad, but still. He picks up the letter and he recognizes the scent of the ocean that his dad manages to infuse into everything he touches. And when he opens it, 2 Disneyland tickets fell out onto his bed. And I mean, he did ask for the tickets, but he didn't actually expect for his dad to give him the tickets. And next to them were a letter in a familiar handwriting, and it says, "Perseus, as much as I approve of you annoying my relatives, I do hope that this has nothing to do with the fact that one of Hermes' 10-year-old sons just requested a motorcycle. While as I, your father, may have a brilliant sense of humor and am just generally awesome, others may not appreciate this in the same way. Signed, your father." So maybe he wasn't as much of a good influence as he thought he was. But what harm could really come from it? He makes a lot of stupid requests and decisions, and here he was, alive and mostly unharmed. Plus, asking for something like a motorcycle was a little funny. Especially from a child like Hermes. I adore the Hermes kids, and there's just so many of them. Lin-Manuel Miranda, baby.
The Hamilton himself?
That is Hamilton himself.
I just kept seeing all the... When the first episode came out, or the first two, I got one TikTok. This is the only Percy Jackson TikTok I got. It was the one where you slide through photos, mm-hmm. and it was the picture of the kid, Luke.
Right? Yes.
And the audio cut, and the next slide is a picture of Lin-Manuel Miranda, who goes, "You are my son."
Just, I remember.
I hate Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm so sorry.
I remember.
He destroyed the music community. No,
it's so funny. I remember the third episode came out, and at the end of that episode, it has like a teaser at the very end for Hermes, so they have little Lin-Manuel Miranda. It's just so funny.
I don't like it.
It was just like, here's a little tease of Lin-Manuel Miranda. I find it so funny. I love it so much. He gets so much pussy. Canonically, Hermes has the most children in the camp.
Not Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm so
Lin-Manuel
sorry.
Miranda, yeah. Oh. I think, though, like, to be fair, the gods can basically transform into any version of themselves, like, whatever.
I feel like I would be able to sniff it out.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, if I looked at someone, I'd be like, no.
Theater kid.
You're Lin-Manuel Miranda in disguise. You think you could fool me?
I think it's great. I think Hermes is just a little fucked up little guy, and I think that's exactly who Lin-Manuel Miranda is.
No, I disagree.
What? Who do you think should have played Hermes, then?
I have to think about it.
Okay. Get back to me if you think about it. Okay. Most everyone else I'm pretty happy with. I think,
No, everyone else is, like, great casting.
I know.
Like, if Hermes actually does get that much pussy, they should not have cast Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I am really looking forward, because some of them we do see, obviously Dionysus, Poseidon we'll see, Zeus we see, Hades we'll see, Hermes we've seen.
Hephaestus.
I think we'll see Athena. But some of them, like Aphrodite, I don't think we see in the first book. Apollo, we don't see in the first book. I don't think Artemis we see in the first book. And I'm really intrigued to see specifically who they cast as Apollo.
Yeah, that motherfucker gotta be pretty.
He's gotta be pretty.
I'm sorry, he has to be.
And he's like, I think they've always, he's always been like young too. Like even his godly form has been like, not a little boy, but like a
young man.
A young man. Yeah, like a 21-year-old. 20-ish. Yeah. So I am interested to see who they cast as like Apollo, because I'm like, he's got to be Josh pretty. Hey, I wouldn't say no.
Listen, he would be a good Hermes.
Okay,
he's a little guy.
He is a little guy. Could you imagine him with the little,
yeah,
the little wing shoes on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He was in the FNAF movie. I could see that man in anything.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, Apollo's got to be a little pretty little boy.
Has to be.
It's just who he is.
Lordy.
No, he's too big. I've always imagined Apollo.
Really.
Could you imagine Jacob Lordy getting into Apollo's chariot?
I think it'd be really funny.
I always think there was it was either a tweet or a Tumblr post or something, and that's like, every single time I see Jacob Lordy next to a car, I always think there's no way that motherfucker's fitting into it. And if he was cast as Apollo, I'd think the exact same thing about the chariot.
It'd
I'd be
really
like,
funny though.
There's no way that motherfucker is getting into a chariot and lifting the sun up every single morning.
Listen, I think it's funny.
I think it would be funny. I just think it would be so like,
I think it's good casting.
Getting into that little tiny chariot,
yeah,
as fucking 6'7" Jacob Elordi.
You want someone that's like sun-kissed.
He is Barry Keoghan.
No.
He would make a good Hermes, though.
I think he'd make a good Hermes. I think the commonality between Josh Hutcherson and Barry.
Yeah.
They have square faces.
They do have square faces. You are correct.
So.
And maybe it would make the gods more involved in the lives of their children. They would have to acknowledge some of their requests, right? There was just only one way to find out, and only one person he wanted to be such a good influence with him. You want me to do what? Annabeth asks Percy. For the good of the new campers, we have to encourage them to put their godly parents on a pedestal so they can feel comfortable requesting stuff. And how better than seeing the architect of Olympus doing it herself? So, why don't I just request something smaller than a mansion? Well, I mean, you could, but we need to make the campers feel comfortable with asking for things they may think are too big. And I mean, what's bigger than a mansion? And Annabeth smiles in a way that Percy knows that he's got her. Hook, line, and sinker. And she says, I guess I can admit that maybe I would have started making bigger requests of Athena if I had watched some of the older campers do it. And so she agrees to do this cockamamie scheme with Percy, but she isn't asking for a mansion, first of all. And she wants some of the other older campers to be involved in it. She would know that Clarice, of course, would jump at the chance to antagonize the gods, as well as Travis and Connor. But here is where we get to the fun part, because we're switching from points of view from Percy and Annabeth at Camp Half-Blood to the gods on Olympus, listening to every single request that is coming from the demigod camp. Everything from the happiness and well-being of every baby sea turtle in the Atlantic Ocean to the protection of every single blade of grass in America.
It's a lot of responsibility.
I would like to imagine that it went from some, like, Annabeth was just like, can I have, like, a diamond necklace or some shit like that? And then it just slowly got up to the point where some kid's like, please, my godly mother Demeter, protect every single blade of grass in America.
No lawnmower.
No. Kill all the lawnmowers. We must remove.
Engine failure.
Absolutely. Only natural lawns from here on out. Real. We're not doing those suburban lawns anymore.
What would you ask for?
If we're going in the same line of thinking, probably for every cat and dog to be off the street. No more homeless cat and dog.
That's a lot.
Yeah. They all have a home. They're all happy and warm.
Stop climate change. Stop the waters from rising.
If you have, you know what? If you're going to ask for something that large.
Might as well.
Please, godly parent. Please fix the hole in the ozone layer. Thank you and goodbye.
Please fix the sun. Thank you.
Please fix the sun. Dear father Apollo, I always thought it'd be really funny going back to the Apollo conversation too, to be like, oh, you're my dad. And then just like this 21-year-old showed up. I just think it's a very funny image.
I hate that. I always imagined him as like a 24 to 26 year old.
Still a 26 year old as a 12 year old's dad.
I know. It's, but they're gods, so it's different.
I know.
It's different.
But all of them have always been pictured to me as like older. And then it's like, oh, my dad Apollo. And then just like, you're say like 17 years old. And you're like, yeah, my dad Apollo. And then he shows up and you're like, there's my 24 year old dad Apollo. Yep. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me how. It's, yep. Mm-hmm. So up on Olympus. Zeus is mad. He's furious. And Poseidon, he's trying to pretend that this isn't bringing him a little bit of glee. Despite what Poseidon wrote in his letter, he just knows that Percy is behind all of this. And luckily for Percy, Zeus has yet to connect him to anything. That doesn't stop him from speculating. But he hasn't. There's no dots being connected. So he leans. He looks to Poseidon. He goes, tell your son to stop annoying me or I will smite him with my lightning bolt. Now, brother. Poseidon says, I do believe that the request was made by a Miss Katie Gardner, not my son. Why ever would you ever think that? Of course, no one believes this. Athena knows too well about the power of the sea god, as do Ares and Hephaestus, but they cannot leave the thinking behind where there's still like Aphrodite and Hermes that are having the time of their life. And they're like, no, we're all having a good time. So it's very much split in half. Hermes says, I for one think this is hilarious. Why, just the other day one of my children asked if I could get them a sugar daddy. I am man enough to admit that I did not know what that was, nor how to go about acquiring one, but rest assured, I am making good progress towards it. and the heavy silence that follows is broken by Aphrodite's laughter. The Olympians turn to the goddess, who's practically falling out of her chair in laughter, and when she calms down, Hades speaks up. I believe it would be best if we were... Hi, Father! I am requesting a... God, Percy, I'm not saying that. No, I don't have to. Yeah, I care about the younger campers. That has nothing to do with fine. Father, I am requesting an army of disco skeletons that can play jazz so they can be the entertainment at the end of the summer party. Thank you. Are you happy now, Per... And now every god and goddess on Olympus looks to Poseidon. And another letter comes for Percy, smelling of the ocean. Perseus. It may or may not have come to my attention that Athena, in particular, does not seem to be fond of any ocean or ocean creature-based requests. Do with this what you will. Definitely not your father, though if I were, I would be telling you about how proud I am of you for annoying both of my brothers. Do not try to get killed, though. Chapter 2. Percy messes up big time, again. Hi, Mother. I am once again requesting for the safety of every single baby seal in existence. I mean, just look how cute they are with their big eyes, and I would definitely die for all of them, and I just want them to be happy. Also, a new hairbrush wouldn't go amiss. Thank you. Percy was having way too much fun with this request renaissance. He was also extremely terrified of being killed by a particular angry god or goddess. Not that that would stop him. It was good that the newer demigods were feeling comfortable enough to request stuff from their godly parents, and it was spicing up the council meetings just a bit if the letters from definitely not his father were to be believed. Besides, it was very funny. In fact, it was hilarious watching 12-year-olds ask actual gods for the newest Pokemon cards. It could be worse. The gods could actually be granting their requests, in fact, to his knowledge, at least. Out of all the outrageous requests, only his Disneyland tickets were only given. So here Percy sits on the beach, taking in the fun of life and the gentle sounds of the sea, when Annabeth comes running up to him with a look of panic on her face. Percy, you need to come up quickly to the big house. There's an army of disco skeletons that are currently playing jazz music. Jazz music? Isn't that what Nico... How bad could this possibly get? Catches up to Percy almost immediately. Back on Olympus, they are currently listening to the request for something that can stop the army of disco skeletons from playing jazz music. Yes, I still think it is funny, the request continues. You know, you could just... Okay, Dad. So, Nico is refusing to help, so I really just need you to come through. Great, I hope you accept your offering and grant your request. Annabeth, no, you can't stab a skeleton. It doesn't have a head. Hades, Zeus says in a dangerously calm voice. Tell me, did you not grant your son's request for an... army of disco skeletons that can play jazz. Yes. Zeus sighs again and leans against the arm of his throne. Would you care to inform the rest of the council why you did so? Not particularly. Hades was loving this. He could overlook the fact that it originated from the sea spawn just because it was the most entertaining thing he'd have the pleasure of viewing in a long time. Zeus leans back, glaring over the rest of the council. Who here has granted their children's requests over the past week? For a moment, he appears to calm down as only Hades' hand was raised. Then, quite proudly, Poseidon raised his hand as well, followed by a hesitant Hermes and a thrilled Aphrodite. Of course, Poseidon got his son the Disneyland tickets, and Hermes rattled off a list of requests that he managed for his children. My turn to explain, Aphrodite says. One of my favorite sons requested it from me. So how could I ever refuse them? So this, Maya, what do you think, Aphrodite? The god of beauty, love, requested her favorite son.
The fact that they have favorites is fucked up.
We knew that. They are fucked up, first of all.
They are super fucked up. I have no idea.
First of all, we know they're fucked up. Like,
I don't know. Is this like a 10-year-old going to Sephora type beat?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh no, I don't like
it. This. Kind of is a 10-year-old going to Sephora type beat. So, back at camp, Percy could not believe what he was hearing from said guilty favorite son of Aphrodite. So, let me get this straight. You asked for a 5-star spa in the middle of the forest. And Percy looks at the spa that now occupies a good bit of their capture the flag territory and groans, directing his next question towards Chiron, who is standing behind him. Would it be considered rude to ask Aphrodite to take it back. Oh, absolutely. Lady Aphrodite might take it as a personal slight against her and curse you, or she might think you sent it back because it wasn't grand enough and she would send a bigger one. So I do believe that we are stuck with this. Right, okay, this is fine. I'm fine. This is fine. Everything's fine. I'm fine. He was not fine. Campers were already complaining about not being able to compete in Capture the Flag this year, and those stupid skeletons were still a fucking issue. In hindsight, Percy Jackson realizes that annoying the gods that could easily make his life hell was, say, not the brightest idea. And now he needed a bright idea to fix the mess he made. And maybe, just maybe, he should see if Annabeth had any ideas on what to do. I am not helping you commit treason against the gods. It's not technically treason, per se. And Annabeth grabs Percy's arm before pulling him in the direction towards his cabin, not wishing to have this conversation in the middle of the camp, pushing him through the open door before stepping behind Percy when they see another envelope lying on his bed. And Percy picks up the letter. Perseus, just a heads up, you may be called up to Olympus soon, as some of the gods, namely Athena and Zeus, are accusing you of rebelling against the gods. I would highly recommend you to ask your girlfriend to put together some defense on your behalf, because they are not pleased. Hermes still thinks you're hilarious, though, so you have one ally there. So does Aphrodite, for some reason. Not your father. Chapter 3. The trial that was definitely blown out of proportion. Look, Percy Jackson was a man enough to admit that maybe he messed up a little bit. He was also man enough to admit that this revelation could have come at a better time than when standing in front of an all-powerful, omnipotent beings that he has annoyed more than maybe he should have. But thank the gods, because his beautiful and brilliant and kind and smart girlfriend was ready to defend him, even if it came at the cost of opposing her mother. And it did come at the cost of opposing her mother, because apparently saving Olympus twice, keeping her daughter alive through Tartarus, and just genuinely staying alive through all the other bullshit the gods threw at him wasn't enough for Athena. Are you just going to sit there and let my daughter defend you, or are you actually going to stand up for yourself, C-Spawn? You know, honestly, I'm fine with just letting Annabeth defend me. She's doing a great job. Love you! He directed that last bit at Annabeth, holding up two thumbs and grinning broadly at her. Annabeth clears her throat and shuffles the papers in front of her to regain the attention of the council. As I was saying, this is Percy we're talking about. He has yet to ask me out to Disneyland, despite getting the tickets gifted to him almost a week ago. Do you really think he could organize a rebellion against the gods? Hey, I could definitely stage a rebellion if I wanted to. Not that I wanted to. Staging a rebellion is the last thing on my to-do list. It's not even on my to-do list. I don't even have a to-do list. Ask Annabeth. Percy didn't need to be told he was saying all the wrong things to know that he was saying all the wrong things, so he resigned himself to sitting quietly the rest of the hearing. At least Annabeth sighs and nods her head. It's true. He is the least organized person I've ever met. If he were to rebel against you guys, which he wouldn't do, don't look at me like that, mother, it would fall apart in a week, at most. And Percy frowns, not knowing whether to be offended or not, but still choosing to stay silent. Even though no words exit his mouth, his face shows all of his thoughts. And once again, Athena pounces on his distraction like a hawk and question why he wasn't paying attention at his own trial. With all due respect, Athena, I'm thinking about what I've done to make half of the council hate me. And I'll be honest with you here, I'm coming up blank. My son has a good point, Athena, Poseidon said when he finally decided to speak up at his son's trial. He has saved us many times over his lifetime. We are indebted to him, and everyone here knows it. Ares sniffs. Be indebted to the brat? I'd rather fall on my own sword. That could be arranged, Percy says, clearly choosing chaos over silence now. Ares, sit down. And Perseus, stop antagonizing the gods that wish to see you dead at their own hands, Artemis snaps. Percy raises his hands in surrender. Okay, I'm sorry, I guess. I'm just not entirely sure what the problem is. I raised a few kids, your kids, self-esteem, and you guys are accusing me of rebelling against you? I think I've helped you. Annabeth looks shocked for a moment before training her face once more. He is right. Don't give me that look. It has happened occasionally. Percy has done nothing to make you guys assume that he was going against the gods. That is to say, Zeus sputters, much to the delight of his brothers. That is not the point. Actually, brother, Poseidon says cheerfully, I think it rather is the point of it all. What has my son done to rebel against us? Zeus mumbles something incoherent. What was that? Poseidon asks, his smug smile clearly showing that he had heard exactly what Zeus said. Nothing. Your brat has done nothing to rebel against us, but it is the potential. The point is, Percy has done nothing wrong. Zeus grumbles for a while under his breath before finally looking up. All in favor of prosecution! Only Athena, Hera, Zeus, and Ares raise their hands. And when Zeus calls for those in favor of clearing all charges, the overwhelming majority raise their hands. Percy Jackson was a free man once more. And after the demigods have returned back to Camp Half-Blood to share the brilliant news with the rest of the campers, Zeus straightens in his throne at the center of the Olympian Council, self-importantly, and clears his throat. I would like to point out that none of my children were naive enough to... Hi, Dad! Just starting off this by letting you know that Percy did not request me to do this, but I would like to request the new Green Day merch. Please, thanks, and I hope that you were expecting this. Or don't, whatever. Oh, Jason says hi! And that is the end. That is The Request Revolution by Tired PJO Fan. I just like the... It's so cozy, and it means nothing, and I enjoy it so much. Everyone's so funny. It reminds me of the original writing. I love that Thalia makes a little comeback in the end when she asks for Green Day merch. I think it's great.
I mean, a lot of other people agree with you, so...
A lot of other people do. I think Percy Jackson is one of those media outlets that so much can be written, and that was what I was kind of looking for. I was, like, going through my bookmarks being like, something's got to be in here where it's, like, a day at Camp Half-Blood, or like just something like really unserious, right, and really cozy for, like, first of all, getting back into the year. I didn't want to do anything too strenuous because, you know, the beginning of the year is like, I'm not at the peak yet. We're getting started. We're just kind of pushing on the gas a little bit. Right. But also, like, coming from the Percy Jackson show, which is only getting more and more high stakes, and it's like, I want to come back here. I just finished House of the Gods. It was a very unserious, he's just trying to get into college kind of book. And I just want a little, and I knew it was out there. I knew just a little fun little romp was out there. And of course there was. Of course there was.
Of course there was.
Of course there was. Yeah, I really enjoy it. I obviously enjoyed it when I read it for the first time because I had it in my bookmarks. I think everything about Percy Jackson's great. And I think it just, a fan fiction authors, I think they're great. And I can't wait to see where the rest of the show pans out. I think it'll be great. I think it'll be great just like the rest of the season that I've watched. But I am excited to see more of the god interactions because I think they're so fucking hilarious because it is just like they're pieces of shit and they don't care and they're just gonna do whatever the fuck they want.
They've been around for so long that is, listen, I'm not saying I would also become a piece of shit.
Right.
But it's like, how else do you have fun?
Yeah.
Being that old. So.
You just gotta fuck. That was the thing where when I was a child and I got more into Percy Jackson and the Greek gods, I was raised Catholic. And the idea of the Greek gods made so much more sense than like the almighty god of like, he is like, not ambivalent, but he was like all kind and all loving and whatever. And I was like, really? I don't know, I know people, and that doesn't really make sense to me. And then it's like the Greek gods are like, we just kind of fuck around with people. And I was like, yep, that one kind of checks out more. That one just kind of checks out more, that they just like fuck around and find out. You know what I mean? And they find out a lot. Because not only are they fucking around with humans, they fuck around with each other, just like a whole bunch. And I find that quite funny. So I'm really looking forward to the part in the story, either in this season or the like later seasons, if and when we get them, that it's like more godly interactions, because they're just great. I love those, like, shitty-ass Greek gods. Like, you were like, they have a favorite? Of course they have a favorite. Are you kidding? Of course they have a favorite. I mean,
when you're, like, a parent, it's like, no. We all know. But it's like, you deny it, you know?
These aren't regular parents, though. We have to admit that.
I know.
They probably have, like, Apollo definitely has a child with some, like, really famous, like, musician. And is like, of course that child's my favorite. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Or like one of his kids made it to the Olympics and he's like, of course that one's my favorite. Like you can't, someone made it to the Olympics for archery. And he's like, that one's clearly my favorite.
Of course Katniss Everdeen.
Of course Katniss Everdeen is my favorite child. You kidding me? So yeah, like of course they have like their favorites. I mean, I like a lot of things about the fic. It's just so well told in such a short amount of time with the characters, where I think Rick Riordan did and does a really good job making the Greek gods like more human. Like, of course they're gods, but they just act like people, and it's like, yeah, because you're just overgrown babies at the end of the day who have lived for way too long and are just doing things for the fuck all of it, you know what I mean? Even like we got photos of like Hermes at the Lotus Casino, and it's like, what is he doing there? Yeah, he lives forever. Why wouldn't he just spend like years at a casino gambling money he whisks out of the air? Wouldn't you do the same?
Yeah.
You have all the time in the world. You're like, I'm just going to stay here, and maybe I'll come back out and another millennia has passed, and maybe we check on the earth then, you know?
See if anyone needs to, you know, talk to me.
Yeah, and then I'll make another horde of children and then go back.
It'll be great.
It'll be fine, you know? I can't wait for that. I love, really enjoy the gods in that aspect. I don't know if one is more favorite than the other. I enjoy Aphrodite's character a lot, especially after Percy and Annabeth get together, because she's like, oh my god, you're in love, and I think she's so sly and so cool.
I disagree. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, she's a fucking cheater.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna say that. Yeah. But they're all cheaters.
Not Hephaestus
and not Hera, I guess, but she's technically not allowed to.
But that's misogyny.
Yeah. You're like, not my boy Hephaestus. He would never do that.
No, I love Hephaestus.
Yeah.
Anger issues?
100%.
Yeah.
He tries to kill Ares constantly.
I mean,
but he's not a cheater.
Is it really murder if you try to kill an immortal being when you know they're not going to die at the end of the day? Is it really murder? I'm just saying.
It's up in the air.
I'm just saying. I think the terms and conditions are blurry on that one.
Okay.
But no, I mean, like, they're all terrible people for a variety of different ways and reasons. Is there anything that you're looking forward to in the show?
I think Persephone's always been an interesting character in the garden. So we'll see how they handle that.
Yeah. And I can't wait for the Percybeth of it all. I've been waiting for another really good slow burn romance in the way that like Percy and Annabeth are.
So you're just going to let them be your next?
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how it fleshes out. We'll see how the year turns out. It's the beginning of the year. It's a fresh new start. I have more room for more obsessions. Don't get me wrong. And one... This wouldn't be a new one. It's just a relighting of the fire. Nice. You know what I mean? Just rekindling the flames. That's what we're doing.